Welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. It's Monday, the 17th of July, 2017. As usual, I'm going to be walking up to town along the canal. Just been taking some photographs of a family of swans. There's the two adults in the boat. I think there's four. No, actually, there's five cygnets, which are now about kind of half size, and they're still grey. You know, they've got to get grey down on them. Ugly ducklings, I suppose you'd say. Anyway, I just took a few pictures of them, just so that you get a bit of context. I wonder if telling you stuff like that is a bit like taking a photograph of your breakfast and sticking it on Facebook. But never mind. Anyway, the topic today is parents. I frequently get asked about the influence that parents have on us and how to deal with that. You might think that it's not something that one has to deal with. But the reality is that as Philip Larkin said, you know, your mum and your dad, they fuck you up. And unfortunately, it is the case that a lot of people are dealing with impressions made on their young, impressionable psyches by the parents that then go on and express themselves throughout a life, and sometimes with deleterious effects. And I think even the most loving and conscientious parents nevertheless are not going to be totally immune from putting some problematic characteristics into their offspring. Now obviously our parents are our first caregivers. I mean, our mother is the person whose ocean we were immersed in before we were born, and all those oceanic feelings of yogic religion, you might say, or yogic contemplation of the human condition, do call upon a trace of that prenatal existence. And you can see what Freud had to say about this in The Introduction of Civilization and Its Discontents, where he discusses oceanic religion and yoga practice. And I have mentioned this in previous podcasts, so I'm not going to go into that too much. Gurdjieff, who again, if you want to know a bit about Gurdjieff, we have podcasts on Gurdjieff, I think. If you look back, now Gurdjieff was a teacher, spiritual teacher, operating in the first part of the 20th century, and Gurdjieff would see people who wanted to study with him and benefit from his wisdom in his office, and on the wall of the office, Gurdjieff had inscribed a little motto, and it said, I can't help you unless you've made your peace with your parents. And I actually think that that's right. If you want to self-inquire, contemplate your own existence along the lines outlined by the world's meditative traditions, you do in fact need to make this peace with your parents. Otherwise, you won't get very far. And in a sense, the whirlpools in the mind stuff, citta-vritti, which Patanjali speaks of in the Yoga Sutra, the most powerful of those whirlpools, the most persistent of those whirlpools, are those which have been laid down by our first encounter with our first caregivers, who are the people responsible for integrating us into society. So there's a certain kind of repetitive captivity to those impressions, and self-inquiry will bring you up against that. You will discover your most powerful and prominent whirlpools first, but also they will be the most invisible to you. They become a part of your given, whereas in fact they're not really a part of your given. You know, that which is very close to us becomes invisible to us. And in this sense, Gurdjieff is right. If we're going to self-inquire, we have to kind of get past the whirlpools into the silent ground. Then we can start exploring and finding out. And actualising our intrinsic joy and our intrinsic being and our intrinsic truth. So make your peace with your parents, and as I said, for whatever peculiar reasons of fate, for years and years I've been talking to people about this stuff, or people have been telling me this stuff. Never actually kind of set myself up to be an expert on this or anything like that. It's just some quirk of fate that has led me in that direction, but I've heard numerous stories of people realising that they need to sort of to make this peace. I should say why this is in the forefront of my mind at the moment is that my mother passed away recently, a couple of weeks ago, and my father's been dead for 20 years. So I'm kind of alert on my own terrain to all of this entanglement that you have with your parents. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this at all. And I'm not saying that one shouldn't love one's parents. I mean, particularly if they're lovable, you should love them. Yeah. I mean, okay, I do understand that there are worst case scenarios in which children get lumbered with parents who they just don't like, and parents get lumbered with children they just don't like. You know, your individuality doesn't necessarily have to gel with the conditions that you are thrown into at birth. But it is on balance better to love your parents than to hate them from the point of view of one's own psychic health. Of course, sometimes it's not possible. In my own case, I feel as though I've been very, very lucky in that respect. And especially in the light of these conversations that I do have with people who are kind of quite troubled by their relationship with their parents. But nevertheless, I would still say you need to achieve some kind of autonomy before you can do yoga or meditation or engage with any of the world's spiritual traditions. And I do recount very often when I'm having these conversations with people an experience that I had when I was in my 20s. I mean, at some point in my early 20s, I went through, I suppose you might say, some kind of spiritual crisis or something like that, which with hindsight, I think was kind of healthy, and I'm extremely glad that it occurred. And a part of that was the experience of one day simply standing in a room and feeling the imago. First of all, of my father. It was almost as though my father's being was sort of overlapped with my own being, and it was inside me, and it was coexistent with it. In a sense, I had this very, very vivid, almost hallucinatory intuition of the part of me that was from my father, and then experienced the same thing with respect to my mother. It's very, very vivid. But having had that experience, I did somehow feel released of those imagos. Now, that word imago, I suppose, needs a little bit of explanation. I mean, I suppose it's like a kind of an image, it's an impression that's in your psyche, that's quite powerfully invested with energy. And you know, when you're a child, your parents have a sort of a numinous appearance. They're kind of very, very powerful, influential figures. And they have a sort of a magical power about them almost, or a glow, or a sheen, or a certain kind of a universality about them. And that actually, having had that experience of vividly realising the parts of myself that had come from my father and from my mother, but at imago, they lost their power. Lost their power, become like an autonomous being. And at that time, I didn't live anywhere near my parents. I lived, you know, at a fair distance. So I didn't see them that often. But when they came to see me, one time after having had this experience, they seemed just like two people rather than two powerful archetypes. Yeah. I mean, as it happened, I kind of liked them, and I could be with them, I could talk to them. They interested me as people and all the rest of it, and I loved them. But that sort of that power had gone. I really did realise an autonomy. And yet, I mean, this was very, very vivid, I have to say. I have one of those kind of psyches that's a bit mercurial or malleable or plastic, you might say, and I do seem to have some vivid experiences of the nature I've just described. And so, talking to other people, I would be surprised to find that people were still in the thrall of the imago of their parents, way, 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 way into adult life. And then in some cases, this caused quite a bit of misery. I mean, especially if what had been laid down was some sort of, I don't know, inefficient tendencies, you might say, or some not necessarily life-enhancing tendencies. And when this happened to me in my 20s, I wasn't aware of Gurdjieff's thing. It's only later on when I kind of read Gurdjieff's works and read about him. But I sort of went, oh yeah, he got it. So, friends, make your peace with your parents. I actually said that to somebody once. And I said to him, you know, it's not, you don't have to go and have a big row with your mum and dad. What you have to do is work it out internally. You have to have an investigation into what's been given you by your parents or by the significant adults in your early life. Work it out. Remember it, feel it, allow it to discharge itself and work itself through, and you'll become autonomous. And the one guy, despite the fact of me emphasising that he shouldn't go and try and have it out with his parents, then they wouldn't understand, he actually went and did that. Well, I don't think it turned out badly, but it didn't kind of, it didn't help him to get himself through. You know, he hadn't understood that it's the impressions that you deal with. Having said that, I would counsel you not to spend your entire life in psychoanalysis, in digging over the past endlessly. And there are times when we do need to do this, and it's particularly with respect to parental imagos. But it should be done, if at all possible, pretty quickly. You don't want to be spending ages on this, because your life's happening now and you want to be there. You want to experience it. Be your life, be in your life, have your life. But sometimes, as I say, there are certain therapeutic things we need to do. But I think this can be done in many cases. Very, very quickly and very immediately. And it is a case of sitting quietly and understanding where you came from. And there is something to be said for spending at least a little time going back the way you came, so that you've got a clear map of the territory and a clear sense of the particulars which surround the universal consciousness which you are. Okay, I just want to summarise. Make your peace with your parents. Don't get into a psychoanalytic rut of forever thinking about the past. Don't be like the guy who sits in the corner of his cell rocking and wondering how he got in there, when all the time the door was open and he could stand up and walk out. I would even go so far as to say, if you'd stand up and walk out, that you will spontaneously resolve your issue with your parents. At least if you're not having to deal with like major traumas and major abuse and so forth. And if you're a parent and you're bringing up a young child, be aware of how it works the other way. Again, I'm not saying get yourself into a state of anxiety about the monumental task of parenting, but have a little bit of alertness there in that situation, and you'll see how it works. And after all, these little people, particularly in the context where nuclear family structure is what predominates in society, be aware of how they depend, at least in the first instance, on the big people. The people who supply the food and the comfort and the love and the nurturing and the care and the instruction. But I'd also say to you in that situation, be aware of how this isn't a process of pouring knowledge, goods, customs, manners, language, skills into an empty vessel, or writing upon a blank canvas. It's not, you know, the process of the enculturation of children is one in which they are active right from the very off. Even newborn children are placing a guiding hand on the procedures and on the unfolding. Just be alert to that, and that'll tell you a lot of things about the human condition. Okay, I'm going to sign off now, and I hope that that's useful. And thank you for listening.